So, David, how are you doing?
Aye, all right. You going to sit down?
Well, do you want me to sit down?
Yeah,
I was going to sit down, but I was just getting my stuff organised. Right. Oh, that's better. Oh. So, are you okay?
I'm a bit tired and emotional.
So, what's new?
I get the feeling we're being watched, John.
You know, I think you're right.
What should I do?
I think you need to welcome them.
Okay. Very warm welcome to supervision this morning. Okay, so it's not supervision. It's my last service here, so I'm having a bit of a muck around. And so apologies if you've no idea what's going on. I'm off to Orkney next week, so if you don't like anything that happens today, don't worry, it'll never happen again. I just wanted to have a service where I could share some of the things that I've learned this year, because I've learned a lot. And so really, this is just a kind of extended report of all the stuff I've learned. But fortunately, it's not all of it, it's just highlights. One of which is my weekly supervision with John. So, more of which later. But welcome to Liberton Kirk, and I hope you do feel welcome, whether you've been here lots of times or whether this is your first time. Big hi to my family up the front. Welcome if you're a visitor, and apologies if none of this makes sense. But you're very welcome to Gatecrash. Everyone's welcome, and a big welcome to folks from KLM, from Kames Lockhart Memorial. Thanks for being with us too. It's a kind of joint service this morning, basically because I asked if they could come because I didn't have time to go to both places and say goodbye. So I'm glad they're here. Could we just take a wee moment while Duncan's going to come and light the Advent candle, but while he does that, just to say hello to folk around you, because there's bound to be someone that you haven't seen before. So just take a wee minute to say hello. Right, you're not here to enjoy yourselves. Or maybe you are. If you're here with a wee one, there's space through in the vestry. If either of you need to go out, some of us might cry this morning. Depends what age you are, whether you want to go through at the vestry or if you're fine just sitting there, Helen. But whatever you want to do, the service is piped through to the vestry if you need to escape with a wee one for a wee bit. It's an all-age service, which means that everybody's going to be in for the full thing. But if you need to escape, there's lots of doors. There's doors at the back and at the sides, and at the front. So we won't worry. But you don't have the excuse of saying you're going to pick up a child, because they should be with you. You might notice a few changes to the slides this morning. A while back in supervision, I was discussing with John about how if you can't read, sometimes it's hard to know what's going on in the service. And there's lots of the wee ones that can't read, and some of the bigger ones too. So there's pictures throughout the service that just give you a wee clue as to what's going on, including welcome. So I know that's actually written, but it's a doormat. So kind of in between. Anyway. But yeah, I said months ago I would have a look at this, and I never did, so I finally got around to doing it. Let's just take a wee minute. And we're just going to remind ourselves why we're here. We're here to meet with God, and we're here to meet with one another. So we're going to be just as quiet as we can be for a wee minute, and then we'll have our call to worship. call to worship is God welcomes all. It goes, God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
And let's continue standing together to sing 10,000 Reasons.
The Lord.
One of the things I've really enjoyed this year has been playing guitar at Pram Praise. You might not know about Pram Praise if you're not two or three, or if you've not brought somebody who's two or three, but Ruth and a whole team of folk, once a fortnight, do Pram Praise. And one of the things I learned from them was a way of praying where you mention something and then we all say, "Thank you, God." So in this prayer, I'm going to pray and then I'll say, and we all say, "Thank you, God." Brilliant. Let's pray. God, you are so old. You're older than a great granny. You're older than this church. God, you're older than this whole world. And yet, God, you're so youthful. Your mercy's new every morning. You delight in your children. And we are your children. Thank you that we're part of your family. And we all say, "Thank you, God." God, you love us. And that should make us feel amazing. But God, you know, sometimes we don't feel amazing. And sometimes we hurt ourselves. Or we hurt other people. And the things that we think and we do and we say. God, we're sorry. And thank you that you forgive us when we do things wrong. And we all say, "Thank you, God." God, you made each one of us. You put a song in our hearts. You gave us each gifts and talents and abilities. And Lord, you love it when we work with you to make this world a better place. Thank you for all the people who help us every day. And would you help us to be helpful too? Finding new ways to show your love and your generosity. And we all say, "Thank you, God." And God, hear us now as we say the words that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You all right?
I'm okay. It's been a long morning.
Is it? Stick in there, John. You'll be okay. It's not long now. So we've been having these sessions pretty much every week since October.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah. I wonder how many we've had.
I don't know. Must be about. Must be about 50.
At least. Yeah. At least 50.
Hmm. And what's one of the highlights been for you?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I've just been trying to count how many paninis we've eaten. So between us, over 100 paninis.
Yeah, it must be at least, yeah.
I feel a bit hungry right now, actually.
Yeah, I know, it'd be good, wouldn't it? If only we had a panini machine.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. But what's this in front of us?
Oh, it's a panini machine.
That's amazing. I think it's a bit hot, yeah. Do you think I should have a go?
Would that be all right?
Yeah, no, that'd be okay.
See, every week I made the paninis. The deal was I came to Liberton, John said, right, we'll have supervision every week and we'll have it at lunchtime and I'll provide the panini machine and the bread if you provide the paninis fillings. So every week I would try and bring a different filling. Do you want to do the gluten-free ones first?
Yeah, there's gluten-free in here somewhere, isn't there? great. Tesco. Sorry, they're in there? Ah, gotcha.
So this is quite nice. You don't mind, do you, if we have a... Is that okay? It's just, it's been a real highlight. And it's hard to know what's been better, the paninis or the conversation.
And you know, he gets quite jealous of this. He discovered about 2 months ago now that I actually made paninis when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He said, "You do what?" I could feel the pain in his eyes. Yeah.
I felt a sense of betrayal. But then I realised that actually paninis are better when you share them. And John had shared them with me, but it wasn't just me he was sharing them with. There's other people too. And it's not just John that likes paninis. Anyone else here like paninis? Quite a lot.
Oh my goodness me. There's a lot of cheese here.
There is a lot of cheese because we've got a lot of people to feed. So what we're going to do, there's not enough for everyone to have a panini each, because that would take forever. But we're just going to make some paninis, and we'll keep making them through the service. We're going to chop them into little bits, and as the plate comes round, if you want a wee bit of panini, help yourself. The first ones that come out are gluten-free, so we're doing them first so they don't get any flour on them. So if you're allergic to wheat, take the first batch. And if you're not allergic to wheat, maybe hold on, let the plate pass you by, if you can, and help yourselves. Because it's better when it's shared, isn't it? What do you reckon? Better when it's shared, isn't it? Yeah. The problem is, though, if I have a panini, and John has a panini, how many paninis is that? Two. So if I give John my panini, and John gives me his panini, how many paninis is that? Two. So we've shared our paninis, haven't we? But there's still only two. Yeah? Danny, you keep them counting here. Right, just checking. So if I have a panini, I swap it with John. So I give my panini to him, he gives it to me. How many are there, Danny? Two. Yeah, brilliant. We're on board. Which is good to share, isn't it? But it's not like there's more arrive. But one of the other things that's happened when we've been having supervision is this. Has anyone got good eyesight? What does it say, Duncan? Wisdom. But the thing about wisdom, if John has some wisdom... That sounds bad, doesn't it?
You mean it was the if question?
Yeah.
I noticed that. Didn't want to say.
You got some wisdom?
I have.
So if John's got some wisdom, could you share your wisdom with me?
Gladly.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
But have you still got your wisdom? See, it's not like paninis. If John shares his panini with me, then he doesn't have his panini anymore. Or if he's been kind, he's got half a panini and I've got half a panini. Mm. But if he shares his wisdom with me, then I've got some of his wisdom. But has John still got his wisdom? Yeah. And what if... Now, this is an if. But what if I had some wisdom? It does happen. Once or twice, isn't it?
Your wisdom is deep beyond measure, David. I'm astonished sometimes at your wisdom. Sometimes when you don't even realise it, you're being wise.
Yeah, that's usually the case. But if I give you some of it, I've still got my wisdom, haven't I? And John's wisdom. And now John's got his wisdom and my wisdom. See the difference between paninis and wisdom? So when the paninis are coming round, you're only getting a little bit because that's all we can share. But oh, there's loads of wisdom today.
Have we got any plates?
Have we got any plates anywhere?
Here.
What?
Oh, just the one. Well, actually, maybe, no, more than one, maybe. Maybe quite a few.
Oh, they smell good.
They do, don't they? So you want me to chop these up now,
do you?
That'd
be great, yeah. So what's the difference between paninis and wisdom, Danny? Sandy, do you know, this is my son Sandy, and I've really missed him in a lot of the kids' talks. You can't eat wisdom, can you?
Thank you very much.
Unless the wisdom is about how to find food. Because some people, imagine if you're a caveman, right, and you're not very good at hunting, you're going to go hungry, aren't you? Yeah, so what do you need? You need food, but how are you going to get the food if you're not very good at it? Yeah. Wisdom.
No.
Yeah.
Meaning of the Great British Bake Off.
We all need wisdom, even if it's to find food. And that's why when we share wisdom, it multiplies, whereas when we share paninis, unfortunately, they don't multiply.
Right, hands up if you'd like a gluten-free panini. Any gluten-free?
There's one over here, John.
Where?
And Carol's at the back. Any other gluten-free? You need to put your hand up now.
Where's my wife? Oh, there she is.
I should make another one, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should. I don't know what's holding you back. I thought I'd trained him well. Right. Oh, Carol. Anybody else? Now's your chance. Someone at the front put their hand up. Oh, he's got some. It's really nice. Do you want to try some? Pass it around. Bring the plate back when it's empty. That's brilliant.
Wow. It's going to take a while, isn't it? Don't worry, this is just going to keep happening. So we thought if we introduced an element of chaos into the service, then you wouldn't mind what happened yourselves. Before we do the news slot, I'm just going to skip forward. And my clicker might work. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I needed to remember, Jackie, that's all. We're going to sing a song about giving, which fits in. Because you can give wisdom, can't you? And then you've got your wisdom, someone else has got it. So we're going to sing about that. And we've done this before. This was a request. So there's different verses to this song. And at the end, we sing them all in one go, so you have to take a really, really big breath in order to get all the way through it. So let's give it a go. And John, you're welcome to make paninis or play guitar, or just suit yourself. Is that okay?
Give my cash to him right now. Give my cash. Cheek, cheek. Give
Notices. You do that, new slot. Okay. You all got one. Hello. You all got one of these. What are you all doing in my sitting room? You all got one of these when you came in. So it's quite clear what's going on. But I'll just tell you anyway. First of all, don't feel you need to rush away today. There's tea and there's coffee. It's across the road. It's in the halls in the new Kirk Centre Cafe. And it might be a chance to say your goodbyes to David, have a wee cry, all that sort of thing. Lunchtime concert on Tuesday, okay, here in the church. The Philomusica Edinburgh. Anne Noble on the violin. Lovely time of day. Mulled wine, mince pies. Blah, blah, blah. African Children's Choir Friday. Tickets £5 for adults, £3 for children. Available at the West Door. Put your money in the wee box with a teddy bear on it. Okay. A good Christmas treat for your friends and family. Next Sunday, here at Liberton, 10:30 a.m., joint service. Up the road at KLM, at the Liberty's building, 11 a.m., okay? So if you're at KLM, it's 11. If you're here at Liberton, it's 10:30. Are you still with me? Good, good. And then the next week, 2 weeks' time, it's back to usual here at Liberton with two services. No evening worship here tonight, okay? But evening worship starts up again next week. Have I forgotten anything? No? No. Okay, back to you, David. How are the paninis going?
I'm doing all right. I'm just putting this one on.
Yep.
Do you want to chop those ones up?
Yeah, I could chop those up. I'll need a chopping board, I think.
Ah,
perfect planning.
So another thing that I've really enjoyed, have I got this on?
Yeah,
I do. There's been a whole bunch of extraordinary things that have happened this year, but one of them was the Tent of Lament that we had at Princes Street Gardens when the Church of Scotland had, they have the General Assembly, but they have a big celebration in Princes Street Gardens, and lots of churches have little tents. And it's normally, it's an amazing number of pictures of people drinking tea and coffee. That seems to be what most happens in most churches. But so there's lots of different tents from lots of different churches, and Liberton Kirk had a tent, and in this tent, we decided that we were going to have a tent of lament, a place where people could come who weren't feeling like celebrating, who were feeling things were quite tricky. And there's a few pictures of the tent. We had a question made out of stones, and it was a place you could stand when you've got your questions, just holding them before God.
And then we had candles that you could light to remember somebody. And lots of people were coming through and they would light a candle for to remember someone, whether it was someone who was ill or someone that, who had died. And we also had a healing tree. And the healing tree was a tree that started off just bare twigs. And then people would write prayers on them for people who were sick or unwell or who needed some healing from God. And as you can see, by the end of the day, the tree was covered in these leaves. And it's here today. But it looks a wee bit different. Can anyone tell what the difference is? Yes, Robert, right up there.
Like
the leaves have come off. Well spotted. Now, why might that be? Why have the leaves come off? Yeah.
Because it's winter.
So realise that the same as any tree, the leaves come off in the winter. We had all these prayers, and they were right for a season, and we prayed over them and prayed that God would answer those prayers. But they're finished. And I don't know whether this tree's going to get any more leaves again or not, because I'm not going to be here. So I don't know, because not just at the church, at the celebration, Heart and Soul in Princess Street Gardens, we also did it at the Pentecost celebration that KLM had up the road. But I don't know whether this tree will ever get used again. And I don't know whether it will ever have any leaves on it again, because I won't be here. So it's not up to me whether this gets used again or not. Yeah? But every year here in Liberton Kirk, there's a bereavement service. And it's a space that you can come to if you've lost someone. And it's a really special service. And there's candle lighting there. And so it becomes a point where it actually doesn't matter what happens to this tree. It's the prayers that are important. And I know that there's prayer been going on in here for hundreds of years, and I don't think it's going to stop on the 31st of December. So the prayer carries on. And is the song listenable to? We're going to listen to a song, and then while we're listening to it, it's a song about healing. That we, at the beginning of the year of discipleship, we had a focus on healing. And this song was part of that focus on healing. But rather than playing it and singing it all together, we're just going to listen to it. And then the singers will come up and we're going to sing The Lord's My Shepherd all together. But this is just a chance maybe to hold somebody you know who's ill right now before God in prayer.
Jesus, heal our lives of all that seeks to harm. Jesus, heal our lives of all that seeks to. Let your spirit rest upon us, flow through all we are. Jesus, heal our lives of all. Jesus, heal our minds Jesus, heal our minds of all that seeks to harm. Jesus, heal our world of all that seeks to
God, there is so much in this world in need of healing. You are the great physician. Help us to trust you, whether we are on the mountaintop or down in the valley of the shadow of death. In you, O Lord, we will put our trust. Let's stand to sing.
My shepherd, I'll not want.
He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul.
And I will
trust.
My cup, it all.
Sally's going to come and read to us from Psalm 84.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
So where would you be if it wasn't for somebody else? Put it the other way around. I wouldn't be here today unless it was for, who is it? I wouldn't be here today unless it was for
Father and mother.
But the thing is, my father and mother are in here, and they wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for me. See? So that messes with your head. But I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them, and they wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for me. But maybe you can think of people in your own life who have been part of your journey with God, and you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. And yeah, your mum and dad might have been them. They might not have been. But there will have been other people along the way. And you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. And for me, one of those people is Norman Smith. And Norman's the minister at Granton Parish Church. And the first placement that I did when I was doing my training was down at Granton. And I had a supervision with Norman. There was no paninis, but we won't hold it against him. But I remember discussing with Norman about music and how much I love music and how I felt maybe now that I'm going into ministry, I'm going to be a minister, I need to leave all the music behind. Somebody groaned. But it was a genuine question. Maybe that was for then. Maybe all the music stuff that I did in my 20s and my teens was for then, and I need to leave it all behind now that I'm going to be a minister. So Norman gave me some of his wisdom. And he said, go and speak to John Young and ask him about that. So I got on a bus up to Liberton, into the church centre, and I met John Young. And he started to talk about how he loved music and how he loved ministry and about how he'd seen the music within ministry change, but he'd also seen the gifts in other people in the congregation that he was part of develop, and how for him, this is great because he can't go anywhere, But for him, one of the things that he loves the most about ministry is seeing other people doing what it is they're supposed to be doing. So contributing. And music has been one of those things. So that got me thinking. And actually, it was about 6 months later, John then asked if I would help him do a presbytery worship night. Which I did, and the penny dropped. Maybe this is someone I could work with and do probation. So I'm only here today because of John, because of Norman. Does that make sense? It's only because of Norman saying speak to John, and then speaking to John and realising I had a lot I could learn from him. Not just about music and ministry, but about ministry. And that's why I'm here. And it's been good. So it got me thinking about music, because I've been thinking about it a lot. Because I set out at the beginning of the year, I have to say, these are the things I'm going to be doing during my probation. And you list them all out. And then you have a laugh 6 months later. How the wheels have come off pretty much everything. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff you had no intention of doing. But one of the things was to explore ministry and music. But the ways in which I thought I was going to be exploring it and what actually happened were two completely different things. I'm not going to go into that too much because I'm struggling to keep it together. But you'll probably be aware of some of the stuff that's happened this year with music and schools, and there's been a lot going on. But does anybody know who said this? Ah, music, he said, wiping his eyes. A magic beyond all we do here. Dumbledore from the Harry Potter books. Well done, Liam. Good skills. Dumbledore, the head of the Hogwarts school. A magic beyond all we do here. Right, you get double points, Liam, if you get this one too. My heart, which is so full to overflowing, has often been solaced and refreshed by music when sick and weary. Anyone else? Mutter. Luther, Martin Luther. Yeah. Big part of the Reformation in the 16th century, Martin Luther. Was solaced and refreshed by music when sick and weary. Anyone know who this is? Anyone? It's a trickier one. Steve Jobs? Nope. Good guess, though. He does look a bit like him. He was the controller of BBC Two for a while. Alan Yentob. So there you go. When you go home tonight, you can say, I heard a sermon that involved Dumbledore, Martin Luther, and Alan Yentob. But Alan Yentob was doing a program about Oliver Sacks, who's a neurologist, who'd written a book all about music and the effect it has on our brain. And what they did was they put Alan Yentob into an MRI scanner and they played him different pieces of music just to see what happened to his brain. So they played him a piece of music that he hated. He really didn't like it. And they looked at his brain and there was very little going on. The blood supply, there was very, very little blood going to different bits of his brain because he really wasn't, he didn't like it. He knew he didn't like it. Then they played a piece of music. He thought it was okay. It's all right. It's not like a favourite piece of music. And there was more lights coming on in his brain. And then they played a piece of music that he had sung at someone else's, I think it was at their wedding. It was a piece of music that he absolutely, like, he hadn't sung it, he had played it at someone else's wedding. But it's one of his favourite pieces of music, and it has a real emotional connection for him and his own story. And the neurologist doing the scan was surprised because basically his whole head lit up like a light bulb. The blood scan on the MRI was red all over. His entire brain was flooded because this was a piece of music that was really personal and special to him. Amazing, eh? So even the guys that are used to doing this were amazed because they'd never made the connection that actually the more invested you are in a piece of music, the more it lights up your head. But the psalmists knew this. Thousands of years before there were MRI scanners, they knew there was a connection between your lived experience, music, and God. Your lived experience, music, and God. And they were joining those dots, even though they didn't have a scanner to do it. Music's incredibly powerful. And there's a bit in the psalm, if you realise, there's three places really that the psalmist speaks of in this psalm. One is the courts of the Lord and how he longs, his soul faints. He wants to be in the courts of the Lord. It's the best place to be. He'd rather be a doorkeeper there than the second place, the tents of the wicked. So there's the courts of the Lord and there's the tents of the wicked. But there's a third place in this psalm. And it's not the courts of the Lord. And it's not the tents of the wicked. I can see people reaching for their Bibles now. This is good. The third place is the Valley of Baca. And the Valley of Baca isn't the courts and it's not the tents of the wicked. The Valley of Baca is a really hard, dry place. But the psalmist says that if you have in your heart the pathways of Zion, if you're singing to God, then you can make the Valley of Baca turn from a dry, horrendous place to a place of springs. It's extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. But it's like a portal. It's like music punches a hole between your lived experience and God. And it's like a way of the two connecting together. Is that making sense? So the Valley of Baca becomes a place of springs because of singing praise to God. Amazing. Now there's other things that do that. Music's not the only one. The reason I'm talking about music is because it's been such a big part of the year. But there's loads of other things, painting and poetry and walks by the sea and mountaintops and a card from a friend. All these different ways in which our lived experience and God suddenly connect and come together through something extraordinary that happens. But music is the one we're focusing on. But if you're not really into music, think of one of the others. Poetry or painting or something else. But we started a music group up at the Northfields Hotel this year. It was a whole bunch of us thought it would be a good idea. It had been talked about before I arrived. It just happened to kick off when I came. But it's a bunch of people who love music, are passionate about music, and just like playing together. But things start to happen through that. Because the whole time there's this portal punching through between music and God. And it happens in all kinds of different songs. Because I'm sure you're aware, whatever your musical tastes are, it's not just music that you sing in church that you connect with. So we're going to take the offering up. And we're just going to play a song that we've played at the Northfield Hotel. And this is just a way of bringing what was outside inside. So that when you hear about this music group in the future and you think, what's that all about? It's basically people who like music, playing music. But there's more going on the whole time than that. So as we take up the offering, we're going to sing a song that was written by Bob Dylan for a film. It's called Knocking on Heaven's Door. And it's basically about a sheriff who is dying. And so it's getting dark, too dark to see. And he feels like he's knocking on heaven's door. So you could say that's all it's about. But I think it's more than that. I think he's tapped into something about how things get focused. When you're at that point where you're at the end of your life, suddenly there's a clarity that you have about what matters. So we're going to do that while we take up the offering. Thank you.
Mama, take this badge off of me. Well, I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Mama, put my guns in the ground. Well, I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud's coming down. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Instrumental verse.
Let's pray. God, you know everything that we have to offer. And this is just a token and a symbol of the whole of it. But God, would you take this as well as the rest of our lives and use it for your glory, the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That was a bit different, wasn't it? But one of the things, there's a bit of theology, right, that's behind some of the things that have happened this morning. I just thought I would explain what it was, and then we'll move on. And that is that there's no distinction between work and worship. That actually our work can be worship, and our worship sometimes is work. But when we start to separate these things off into different compartments, then we have our church life, and we have the rest of our life, when actually God soaks the whole of our life. every part of it. And so preparing paninis can be an act of worship. And so singing a song from a film about a sheriff can become an act of worship. Is that making sense? That's what's behind it. And that some of the architecture that we have in the church is there for a reason. So the communion table is there because it makes sense to have a table when you're having a meal. But then suddenly it becomes an object in itself that is just always here. And by putting it to one side and having a pile of chairs, this is not what we would do every week. And there's no need to do it every week. It's not that this is better. Far from it. But this is an image that you'll take with you. And the next time the communion table's here, you know that it doesn't need to be, then there's a reason why it is. Yeah? So that's what's been going on. But I'm just really, really grateful to John for being daft enough to allow some of this to happen.
I don't know why I do it.
It's an enabling ministry. It's encouraging and facilitating. And another thing that I've learned about a lot from being with John is that it's not just John. There's the whole team with Ruth and with Ray and with Andy and Rachel and Anna and with Willie and Mary and Linda. The whole team, Louise as well. And to see something of that, to see something of team ministry has been really extraordinary. And so I'm pointing these things out to you because they're part of the fabric in the background of your everyday church experience, just like the communion table. The fact that John's here, the fact that Ruth's here, the fact that there's this whole team and that there's team ministry, the fact that there's tons of things going on through the in the church hall all the time, this is just part of your everyday church. But when you come into it, you see it differently. And it's really worth celebrating. And that's why I'm pointing it out. Because there's so much within Liberton Kirk that's worth celebrating. And you've got this whole year coming up ahead of you of anniversary. And it's as much about looking forward as it is about looking backwards. But actually being grateful for the full range of all these things that there are.
You done?
Almost.
Oh.
There's a wee picture. I've just been talking about some of the things that have lit me up this year, some of the things that I've appreciated, some of the things I've learned. But what is it that lights you up? There isn't an ending. This isn't an ending. But what lights you up? Find out what that is and get on with it. Because it has a massive impact on other people. When you discover what it is that God's put you here to do, what you're passionate about, what you delight in doing, and you get on and do it, it's extraordinary what happens. Absolutely extraordinary. So we're going to sing another song that we've sung in the pub by a guy who doesn't go to church much. But hopefully you'll pick it up and we can sing the chorus together. But it actually embodies this thing of being lit up. It's called Scare Away the Dark. And there's a hymn. Oh, sorry. There's a hymn to finish with, by the way, just in case you're worrying. So in plan A, there was lots of colouring in for some of us to be doing. And at this point, everyone would be holding up the colouring in. But I forgot to bring the colouring in pens. But you can collect it on the way out if you want. I'm really sorry about that.
That, in a nutshell, is my only...
Sing, sing at the top of your voice. Love without fear in your heart. Feel, I feel like you still have a choice. If we all light up, we can scare away the dark. Wish our weekdays away, spend our weekends in bed. We drink ourselves stupid and work ourselves dead. And all just because that's what Mum and Dad said we should do. We should run through the forests, we should swim in the streams. We should laugh, we should scream, we should cry, we should dream. We should stare at the stars and not just these screens. You should hear what I'm saying and know what it means to sing. Sing at the top of your voice. Love without fear in your heart. Feel like you still have a choice. If we all light up, we can scare away the dark. Yeah, we wish we were happier, thinner and fitter. We wish we weren't losers and liars and quitters. We want something more, not just nasty and bitter. We want something real, not just hashtags and Twitter. It's the meaning of life, and it's streamed live on YouTube. But I bet Gangnam Style will still get more views. We're scared of flying and swimming in shooters, but we're all slowly dying in front of computers. So sing, sing at the top of your voice. Love without fear in your heart. Feel like you still have a choice. If we all light up, we can scare away the dark.
This bit's easy.
Top of your voice. Love without fear in your heart. Feel like you still have a choice. If we all light up, we can scare away the dark.
Sing.
Sing at the top of your voice. Love without fear in your heart. Feel like you still have a choice. If we all light up, we can scare away the dark.
We're going to pray for others. Has anyone that they want to pray for, or any situation that you feel deserves prayer? Jean Dixon. Yeah. Your grandparents. Yeah.
Isabel Penman.
Yeah. Moving house. Yeah. That's a good thing to pray for. the airliner that's disappeared in Singapore. Anything else? Yeah, the folk in Glasgow who lost family last week in that accident. Anything else? King's Cross trains, yeah. Now that they're back and running. Aye, the driver of the bin lorry, yeah. And they find the lost plane yet? Have we started praying yet? Haven't we? Let's continue praying. God, you know all the things that burden our hearts. God, the things that we've spoken about right now and the things that we haven't said. Lord, they're all known to you. And we take a moment of quiet now to mention them in our hearts again. God, sometimes it's easy to believe that you have the whole world in your hands, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to believe. But God, we know that you came down at Christmas, that you took on flesh, that you became a man, and you lit up the world. And the darkness can never push that light out again. And so God, we pray that your light would shine in every situation that we've named and the ones that we've named in our hearts. Lord, let your light shine. Let your spirit be at work. God, light up this world in every corner of darkness, that we would acknowledge you as the King over all creation. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's interesting because when David was planning this service, he got it all worked out. I mean, it's just very detailed. But he asked me at some point, "Is there going to be an embarrassing bit?" And it's down on the sheet, number 15, embarrassing bit. Let's see if we can embarrass David. What is the word that he uses most often? I was trying to keep track of the number of times he's used it already this morning, and I've almost lost count. What is the word that he uses most often? It begins with E. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Do you all agree? Everything's extraordinary for David. He's an extraordinary person himself. But everything's, and what makes him extraordinary is the fact that he thinks everything's extraordinary. I'm absolutely serious here. I mean, if you go around being amazed by some of the things that happens in God's world, then God will use you to do amazing things. And the greatest gift that David has brought to me is his ability to be amazed by what God is doing. And I think some of that's come out in today's service. All the things, well, not all of the things, but some of the things that he's been amazed by. I've been amazed by some of the things that have just happened because David's been around. All sorts of things I wouldn't have imagined were going to happen have just happened just because he happens to be here. And as such, he's just a brilliant example to us all. Wouldn't it be brilliant if things just happened wherever God puts us? There's a challenge for us all. You let God amaze you in the year to come, and God will then use you to do amazing things. But I just want to thank you, David. Embarrassing bit, you know, that sort of thing. I have thoroughly, thoroughly loved having you here at Liberty Kirk. I don't think I'm the only one. Have you enjoyed him being here? Have you? Well, you might want to show that.
And it just so happens, in a beautifully pristine
envelope that I've been carrying around my pocket. I had to carry it around my pocket because people kept sidling up to me and sneaking me more bits and bobs, which I then had to open the thing up and put it inside. This comes to you as our way of saying thank you. You'd be surprised just how many people at Liberton have sidled up to me so I could pop something in my right-hand pocket or my left-hand pocket to put in this envelope. So please be very, very careful with it. It's not just for you. It's for you and Sal and all the family. It's just a wee thank you from your friends here at Liberton, and we hope that you find it useful in I don't know, starting off a new chapter of your life in Orkney. So there you go. So now we're going to do something that I certainly hadn't planned. David, why don't you come and join your family? Come on. And anybody who wants to join me in praying for them, just come forward now. Come on, don't hang around. Anybody who wants to come and join me praying, just come forward. And what we'll do is we'll just form a massive huddle. And it'd probably be better if I just did the praying, otherwise we're going to be here all morning. But if you want to be connected to this in some way, that's right, make sure that you're in some way... Put your hand on the shoulder of someone who's got the hand on the shoulder of someone who's got the hand on the shoulder of someone who's in some way. And if you're still sitting in the pews, you think you got the good. Hey, anybody else? Fantastic. See, you can just put your hand on the shoulder of the people in front of you there, and that's us all connected up. Oh, this is, we've never done this before. Extraordinary. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for David. Yeah, he is a child of God who is humble and gifted, and that's a brilliant combination to have. And he's got a lovely family. And so we ask your blessing on him. We pray that they would know that as they go from this place, that our thoughts and prayers are with them, but our God is also with them, their God. And we pray that the next phase of their lives, their collective lives, would be utterly extraordinary. And we look forward to hearing all that happens. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, enough of this. Everybody go and sit down.
I think I heard something good.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, you can. Do you want to say a thank you for KLM? Use a microphone.
Prepare. Oh. Got some sound? Oh yes, I haven't prepared anything, but we said thank you from Liberton, and really want to say thank you from KLM as well. We really enjoyed having you when you've come up and spoken, and really appreciated all the time that you've spent with us as a joint congregation, Liberton and KLM. I think all of us have appreciated you, and we're going to miss you lots.
Ruth announced last Sunday that we want to see if anybody's interested in going up to Orkney. So we've put sheets out at the side tables, and there's already a few names on them. But I really need to know today if it's worth us organizing anything. So if you're still thinking about it, then please, even if you're interested, put your name on those sheets today so I get some idea. And maybe we'll do something jointly with the folks at Queensferry as well. But I think we're about near the end of today's service. So we have got a hymn. David did promise us a hymn. And it's the words of the Magnificat. The Magnificat. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Shall we stand?
Tell out my soul the greatness of
His mercy sure, from age to age the same. His holy name, the Lord the Mighty One. Tell out my soul the greatness of His might, power and dominions, lay the glory by proud hearts and stubborn ones are put to flight. The hungry fed, the humble lifted high. Tell out my soul the glories of His word, for is His promise and His mercy sure. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, to children's children and
One thing I forgot to mention, which is that the last thing on David's list of what we're doing today is we're going to listen to an awesome organ voluntary. So Callum has prepared an awesome organ voluntary. So rather than going out and standing at the gate and freezing while you all listen to it, we're just going to enjoy it as well, and then we're going to head out. But to finish with a blessing, go in peace and in the joy of the Lord, and the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you this day and evermore.